FOOD. Visit online at goveg.com. That's goveg.com. This message has been sponsored by PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Thank you.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols with you tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Did I say Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols?
You did.
It's not us tonight.
It's a threesome. It's
Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols are here and returning to The Big Picture, Shay Spillane.
So lovely to be back.
Wait, was it The Big Picture when you were...
No, it was... Then was The Whole Truth.
The Whole Truth.
Didn't we change it to The Big Picture while you were co-hosting?
I believe that was no. Like right towards the end.
That was just you and I.
Yeah, that's when you guys started making out without me.
Because it's... Brian Joyce left and the show was The Whole Truth when it was him and I.
Yeah.
You are responsible for this theme music.
I was the one that chose American Idiot because, how appropriate.
Yeah, which is perfect. It fits the show perfectly. We got breaking news tonight. We got all kinds of wacky, crazy nonsense going on. Plus, we got Shay. And she's going to be with us for the foreseeable future.
Hell yeah.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I've missed this chair.
You've been in Los Angeles.
Yes. I decided to come back and hang out with some real people.
Yeah.
For a while.
I just want to rub on your skin and get tanned.
Well,
you can do it today with the weather.
Well, that's the thing. Today I was like, oh my God, is it 110? And then I saw it was 80 and I was like, oh right, humidity is a thing here.
Just wait until it kicks up a little more in a couple days because you're not used to that. You're used to the heat. But they don't get the humidity out
there. If you see a large Irish woman melting onto the side of Boylston Street in the next few days, that's me. Say hello.
There you go. That's it's sad.
Give the girl a beer.
Sad but true. There was actually snow in parts of New England on Sunday morning.
Ridiculous. Mother's Day somewhere in New Hampshire got a couple inches.
Yeah. Tomorrow, 96. Have fun, kids. Let's get right into the news because, once again, it's a slow news week, but we probably ought to...
touch on some
things. At least touch on a couple of things.
Nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
Not in America. So starting with national news. Starting with local news.
Shay Spillane, back on the show, ladies and gentlemen.
First time back in a couple months. You got to cut me some slack,
y'all.
This is my
first time back doing this. So, yes. You...
The Quincy man who was charged in February with firing a gun inside Macy's at South Shore Plaza in Braintree is scheduled to be arraigned in Superior Court later this month. Michael J. Spence Jr. is currently being held on $75,000 bail in the Norfolk County Jail. He was indicted by a grand jury on April 28th and will be arraigned on May 30th, it was announced, in Norfolk Superior Court. Police said that they believe the shots fired inside the mall the night of February 3rd involved a chance meeting between two members of rival Boston gangs.
Because that's where you go to settle your disputes, apparently, in Macy's. I often have the urge to pull out a gun at Macy's trying to figure out the sale discounts that happened in that store.
Oh, yeah.
It's understandable, I guess.
Well, I grew up in Quincy going to South Shore Plaza, to get my prom shoes. So I was sitting there being I really am kind of sad it was a gang thing and not just, two women fighting over a pair of size 10s, you know?
I'm kind of surprised at the situation. South Shore Plaza now is nice. I mean, they really did it over.
Compared to when I was a kid, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess.
Still got that goofball Target that goes underground, and I don't understand what's happening with that.
There's only a couple spaces in the front. Yeah, yeah. It's a thing.
And then you're banging at the mall.
Banging at the mall. Going to the plaza, and we're banging at the mall.
Don't ever do that again.
I was going to say, that was the whitest thing you've ever done, Derek.
Banging at the mall. Oh, I've done
things that are way whiter than that.
Way whiter than that. How quickly they forget. You used to put up with this every week. It will come back.
Oh, yes. I'm the memories are just screaming back in my brain right now. In alcoholism news, a New Hampshire lawmaker has been arrested and charged with 2 counts of driving while intoxicated, stemming from a May 4th incident in Pembroke. The Concord Monitor reports that Representative, I'm not making this last name up, James Spillane of Deerfield is scheduled for an arraignment on Friday. The House Speaker, Sean Jasper, says such incidents reflect poorly on the entire New Hampshire House, but that the House must let, quote, due process take its course. This is the second time that Spillane has been in trouble with law in this nature. Spillane previously pleaded guilty to driving while intoxicated in 2010.
Shocking. A politician and DUI charges. So crazy. What's even more enjoyable about this arrest is that he is blaming other people for, you know, kind of tracking him down and harassing him and writing down his license plate and calling up police and saying, no, actually, they're lying. I wasn't swerving at all.
And then underneath the surface, he's like, come on, guys, I almost got away with it.
Is there cell phone video to contradict his claims?
Shocking.
And this latest one is kind of weird, but just something I thought was worth discussing. A Massachusetts man accused of harassing his neighbor has been ordered to leave town for a year as part of a plea deal. The man must leave Salisbury and live with his parents in Amesbury as part of a deal reached with prosecutors. If he pays $250 in restitution and abides by protective orders, a charge of violating an abuse prevention order will be dropped. The man has been sent to jail for ignoring orders to stay away from his neighbor, but was taken to a Worcester hospital in March after he was found, quote, unfit to remain behind bars. The man is accused of directing high-powered lights and loudspeakers at his neighbor's home, among other things, over the course of 2 years.
Who needs a court order to be told to get out of Salisbury?
Right?
That should be a choice.
That's a gift.
Well, and also it just made me think, like, I had neighbors that used to, like, were in a band, and, it, like, once a week there'd be drums, and it would be annoying. Like, this guy is purposely messing with these people.
But Salisbury is like the Alaska of Massachusetts. That's where you go when you can't live anywhere else in the state. And you still want to get the state benefits? But you don't want to go to New Hampshire where you get squat, but no one else will have you. So you have to go to Salisbury.
I'm curious to know why this man began to harass the neighbors. Was there some sort of confrontation that started, or was, I mean, if you're unfit to be behind prison walls, I assume that you have some sort of mental issues.
That's the thing is, I tried to look into it further to get a name, to get an explanation, but because it's still technically in process, apparently there's not very much information being released. But I like to think that he just, like, his sprinkler touched one section of his lawn and he didn't like it. Like, I like to think it's something simple that just made him snap.
Yeah, I don't know if they have sprinklers in Salisbury. I'm just picturing that episode with the Osbournes and Ozzy Osbourne throwing the turkey or ham over at the neighbors in the neighborhood dispute. I mean, this is crazy. You would assume that if there was some sort of confrontation that did happen, police would be called instantly and there would be some fine or some sort of warning to the neighbor. Clearly, it didn't matter. And he continued, how childish. shining really high bright lights over to the neighbors, I'm assuming, at the wee hours of the morning and playing music loudly with speakers.
That's what we did with Noriega back in 89.
I was going to say
Battle
in Panama.
Yeah, we had the music and the bright lights going 24 hours a day.
Well, that's what I would love to know. Like Lisa said, I would love to know, first of all, what this neighbor did to deserve such harassment.
It's Salisbury. The answer is nothing. Looked at him wrong one day.
Well, and
have you been to Salisbury?
I went. Someone told me there was a good square slice of pizza there. I think that's the only
Tripoli's up on the up on the there. Road near the beach. Yeah, Tripoli's is okay.
You don't have to go inland in Salisbury though.
There's actually there's another Tripoli's just across. If you keep going and you take that right turn that takes you up to the nuclear power plant end of Hampton Beach, there's another Tripoli's up there. So you don't have to deal with Salisbury at all.
Well, then why did I go to Salisbury?
And it's generally, well, it's closer. But the one that's up by the Clam Shack and the fireworks place, it's generally considered to be the better Tripoli's, too.
Well, see, Derek knows where everything is just based on where he can buy fireworks from.
I know enough not to go to Salisbury if I don't. You know, I mean, I like Salisbury Beach. It can be fun to hang out up there for a couple hours.
I'm from the South Shore. We were never taught these things, except don't go to the North Shore.
Yeah.
That was the only...
It's like everybody on the east side of Massachusetts, we're like, oh, out there.
Yeah.
Which is anything past Worcester. It's the same thing with North Shore, South Shore, for the most part. We don't venture into each other's areas. Actually, if you're from Danvers, you don't go any... The only reason why you go north is to make it up to the New Hampshire liquor store is before 11 o'clock. That's what we used to do.
See, as far as...
As Lisa and I have done together, actually.
Growing up...
Yeah, actually.
Growing up on the North Shore...
It was a weird Memorial Day.
It was always, why would you want to go to the South Shore? It sucks down there. South Shore sucks.
Well, it's growing up, it was always, when I was allowed to take the T alone, it was like, all right, you can take the T, but you don't go north of Harvard.
Yeah. Once you get rid of Nantasket Beach, there's no reason for anybody to go to the South Shore ever again.
Hey, I live there.
Sucks down there. It sucks.
So that's all I have for local news for today. Like you said, bit of a slow news week.
National?
National news. We have yesterday, 9 people were injured and 2 were arrested after a violent protest outside the Turkish ambassador's residence in D.C. The violent protest broke out after the Turkish president visited President Donald Trump at the White House and then visited Turkish ambassador Serdar Kılıç. That's totally how you pronounce his name. Residence yesterday. Some protesters gathered outside the residence in opposition of the president's human rights record, while others gathered to support him. And according to NBC News, U.S. officials told them that the men responsible for the ultimate violence were actually the ambassador's bodyguards.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm buying this. Maybe.
I mean, that, it's one of those things, like, I kept trying to look and see. Apparently, there's cell phone video of this, and that's kind of what allowed them to feel confident in releasing that information, where it's men that are clearly dressed like professionally, like they not fight for a living, but they protect and are big burly men for a living, that got involved and are what led to it becoming violent. But like I said, 9 people were injured and 2 people were arrested, but they do not appear to actually be the bodyguards.
I don't dismiss the idea that there are some Erdogan loyalists hanging out in that entourage who see people in the crowd and are like, oh, it's that guy. I've wanted to punch that guy in the face for years. Let's go punch that guy. We have diplomatic immunity.
No, of course. And we're talking about a situation where people were thrown down to the ground and repeatedly beaten in the head. So it's not like some sort of calm protest where you're activating your free speech. This became violent. And again, this continues my whole thing with Turkey, and I don't trust them at all. Turkey has continually played this really fine line of, I'm your friend, but I also sort of like ISIS, but we're against them. And you really can't have it both ways. And unfortunately, with what's going on with their leader, and Erdogan, he has played both sides very carefully.
We love America. Mm-hmm. We also love the free oil that ISIS is trucking into our country.
And the millions of dollars. I mean, there was
I have a foot in each camp?
You know,
we love the fight against ISIS. We also love bombing the Kurds. What are you doing?
That were related to Erdogan, it was either his sons or some sort of relation, had multi-million dollar properties all through Europe, and all the ISIS money was being funneled into Europe, where they made more millions off of these properties. They're skirting both sides, and I think this is a time where our administration and Trump has really been on the forefront in trying to figure out where they stand and what their position is. I don't think Russia's really taking a lead on that. They kind of stay away from the whole Turkey situation, but this is a part of the Middle East, and it's
celebrate diversity. We hear it over and over and over again. So if the Turks want to come to the United States and beat up on the protesters, just like they do back in Turkey, diversity, isn't that part of it? Live and let live?
Well, I think what's tricky in this situation, too, is that I think a lot of Americans, or at least people who aren't Turkish American, don't really understand all of that. You know what I mean? Like, Turkey just seems like this faraway place that we hear about sometimes. When you hear Turkey, you think Thanksgiving before you think this country over in Europe and Asia.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this kind of a difficult thing. It's so funny because we get so wrapped up in our own domestic issues that, like, a lot of people, like, I wanted to include this just because a lot of people would be like, oh, whatever, it's a bunch of Turkish people, who cares, mm-hmm. you know? But it is interesting. Moving on, sources, you guys are going to yell at me for the last two. sources revealed yesterday that fired FBI Director James Comey wrote an internal memo saying that President Donald Trump asked him to shut down an investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. According to a former federal law enforcement official close to Comey, the memo was part of a paper trail Comey built documenting what he believed to be Trump's campaign to derail the FBI's investigation of alleged Russian ties to his presidential campaign. The source said the memo included a line which Comey quoted Trump as having said, "I hope you can see your way clear of letting this go to letting Flynn go."
Interesting.
The story. End of the world. Watergate.
I told you guys are going to be mad.
Watergate. It's Watergate all over again.
Now, Shay, we talked about this on the show last week, and really it was a bunch of BS in both of our opinions.
Well, this one isn't. Actually, I mean,
No. I'm saying at the
that's
beginning
what
of
you
the
guys always say whenever I say something against Trump.
Oh, no. This, I mean, if you have evidence of a memo where he is saying it, but all of the fanfare that rose around it and... Derek pointed out...
This wasn't even the worst one of the week, by the way. This wasn't even the worst one of the week.
The optics of how you did it, the fact that you brought in somebody that was involved in Watergate into the White House.
Yeah.
The next hour, you bring in somebody from Russia. It's just, that is not how you do it. And Donald Trump is still trying to figure out, sadly, that you can't run it. You can run it like a business, but the optics need to be a little more clear.
I disagree with that entirely. You know, let the guy do what he wants to do. I called it a mic drop last week, which is what it was.
That's what it was.
I just fired the head of the FBI. Now I'm going to have Henry Kissinger come over. You know, that's a mic drop right there. That's an in-your-face media. This memo is bad.
Well, I mean, we have sent a panel asking for Comey to testify with regards to Trump and Flynn.
And the question becomes, what did Donald Trump mean when he said what he said, if he said those exact words? Was this a pat on the back, hey, I hope you can let this Flynn thing go, because he's a good guy? Or was it, I hope you can let this Flynn thing go?
Wink.
There's a difference in tone.
Of course.
It's like
reading a text message. You can take it so many ways.
But the important thing is, though, that anyone in the public sphere, anybody who is having their words dissected is going to be subject to, well, pick your words really carefully. The number one person who should pick their words carefully in any situation, even if it is a document that you don't think is ever going to get out there, it's the President of the United States.
But if you're
States.
In the Oval Office, that rule doesn't apply. The Oval Office is like the cone of silence, where you as president can go in and say whatever you want, and nobody is ever supposed to talk about it outside of that area.
But nonetheless, though, I still agree
with... Let alone the FBI director, Comey. And
former.
And the interesting thing is, who leaked this? Because only a handful of people in the FBI even had access to this document. Yeah.
But again, this is kind of going back to so many situations in the past when talking about Flynn. And I truly do believe there is a problem internally with the FBI or some sort of national security. Is there a mole? Is there? I mean, it's very clear.
Oh, yeah.
What's happening?
There's some huge problems here. I mean, right now,
Do we give it the benefit of the doubt that Trump is understanding that that's what is happening and you need to completely clean house and figure out where your problem is and where it starts? And of course, you're going to go with the head of the FBI. This is how you run your corporate culture. We're going to get rid of it.
I think right now you can safely say we do not have a functioning Justice Department and we do not have a functioning investigative body in the United States of America.
Well, and with
the FBI is not working. The Justice Department is not working. They're broken.
Well, and with that, though, I agree with Lisa that she said that Trump is currently figuring things out. And that's fair. It's got to be a difficult job. But at the same time, you're not supposed to figure things out with one of the most powerful countries in the world as your kind of practice test. You know, like, this is not a time to be figuring things out. This is not. Yeah, there's rifts in the FBI. There's rifts in so many areas of national security. These are things he should have come in guns blazing, being like, this is what we're going to do about it. Not
Correct.
Have to be reactionary,
but it's
as has been the last week.
It's a tricky situation because President Trump chose people in his inner circle from the business sector for the most part. And when you are dealing with international business, of course, you are going to have CEOs or some sort of COO dealing with other countries, Russia being a major dealer. So when you have somebody like Michael Flynn, of course he is going to, and he has said it outwardly, that of course I have connections with people in Russia. Now you start getting into problems.
Flynn was also playing a little loose with the law.
And of course.
Flynn is by no means an aggrieved party in all of this. Flynn is very possibly a criminal actor.
And that's why I'm saying this is where you get into kind of muddy waters, because there's a difference between having quote-unquote normal social business and then giving promises to another country, making sure that whether it be sanctions being lifted or some sort of movement in power.
Absolutely. Well, and again, that's just something that I think that I am by no means saying, yeah, Flynn, totally, he's totally fine. Like, everything's fine. But at the same time, it's something that should have been handled, should have been addressed, should have been foreseen.
Yeah.
It's not something that should be, the word is, again, reactionary.
They got blindsided by this whole thing.
Yes, exactly.
By this whole thing.
And that shouldn't be something that happens.
And we have a problem because apparently they're reading too many Tom Clancy novels down in Washington, D.C. because everybody sees Russians in the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
There's like Russians everywhere. There's Russians coming Russian out of bad. The Russians.
I say it feels like the 50s all over again.
Who knew there were this many Russians in Washington, D.C.? And that everybody in the Trump
they hide
campaign.
Their accent so well.
Everybody in the Trump campaign apparently is jetting off to Russia every weekend. I keep seeing the guy at Mar-a-Lago, but I guess everybody goes to Russia and talks to everybody over there. 90% of this is blown out of all proportion. The problem that you have now is you have a neophyte politician who may or may not understand that a different set of rules apply when you're talking and conducting yourself as the President of the United States of America, so that when you make a friendly suggestion to James Comey that you might want to back off of the Flynn investigation and just let the guy go home, James Comey may turn around and say, you obstructed justice.
Of course.
And if you can get enough of these idiots in the Senate to go along with it, you can impeach the guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing, is I feel like you're absolutely right, which is touching on what Lisa said earlier, is that Trump is still in the mindset of a business mogul, reality star, wanting to get as many likes as he can on Twitter. And that is not the task at hand here.
Yeah.
That is not where his priorities should lie. And playing it fast and loose with things is not something that's okay for the President of the United States to do. Or people are going to react. And not usually positively. And with that, Wall Street took a battering today.
Yeah.
As the heightened political turmoil in Washington led many investors to seriously question whether President Donald Trump will be able to push through any real pro-business reform measures. The Dow Jones opened 170 points lower and continued its free fall all morning, at one point shedding 289 points. Financials led the sell-off, with Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and Bank of America all down more than 2%, which 2% sounds like not very much, but when you're such a huge financial corporation, it's a lot. According to Michael Schall, the chairman and CEO of Marketfield Asset Management, this is clearly Washington-driven, resembling 1998 and 1999, when the market had to deal with the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah, but essentially you have many stock market analysts saying no one really should be too worried. Obviously, traders were worried about the latest political controversy with Trump administration, and that they wouldn't be able to follow through on the proposed pro-growth and, you know, buy America, be America.
You know who gets hurt in this? Is people who are retiring in the near future. People who are retiring in the near future are watching their retirement savings. Working class Americans, for the most part, are watching their retirement savings get obliterated like 1 or 2 years before they're ready to hang up their hats, which means they're going to have to work longer or they're going to have to get by with less. This gives you an example of how far the left is willing to go in this country, because the left and their media enablers will burn the whole thing down just to damage this president. And that's exactly what they're doing. This stock market decline was triggered by the New York Post, or the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, all this 24-hour Trump's going down news coverage.
But regardless of that, yes, maybe that may be true, but regardless of that, that doesn't mean that the people at the heads of Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bank of America, all of these have to listen.
It trickles down into every single
fear.
Of course. Absolutely. And I 100% agree with you in saying that we are living in a news cycle with regardless. And Shay, you say you have to watch what you say. Unfortunately, this president does not watch what he says. It's kind of a free for all. Every single word that is taken out of that man's mouth is being dissected, analyzed, twisted around from your left-wing mainstream media.
But that's not new. That's not new. That's happened with every single president prior to him.
No, it has. Not to this
extent.
Not to this extent.
Oh, my God. You all give you a group hug. Ugh.
Barack Obama was collecting a Nobel Prize at this point in his presidency. Okay? George W. Bush was being gently prodded.
Trump had an X on his face even before.
And everybody was bitching about how much vacation time he took.
But you have to stop and ask the question, why is that? It's not because people just for no reason dislike Donald Trump.
It's because the left and the globalists lost. It's because Hillary lost and they can't accept it. That's why.
I didn't want Hillary to win, but when Obama won, the same thing from the right wing was happening.
No.
It's just that
what happened on the right wing was Rush Limbaugh came out and you were young. You may not remember this history.
Oh, shut up.
Rush Limbaugh came out and said, I want this president to fail. And the media erupted in hysterics. Mm-hmm. People called him a traitor. People called him un-American. For 2 weeks, we had every commenter in the United States of America talking about how that was the worst thing anybody had ever said about a brand new president. That's peanuts compared to what's been said about Trump since he's taken office.
Well, maybe you guys should yell louder than us.
It's
ridiculous because for the most part, it's a screaming children on the internet. And regardless of, there are many things that I do disagree with Trump on, but there are many things. And for the main vision, put aside healthcare and everything, the main vision of bringing back jobs in America.
But see, why
do
we have to put that aside? That's the thing.
But
because
if we're talking about bringing back jobs to America, if we're talking about putting more money in the average person's hand, that all stems from how the markets are doing. That is companies hiring. That is more manufacturing happening in the United States. So when you have a mainstream media that is pushing this memo and this agenda of their own kind of saying, no, absolutely not Trump, against Trump, the world is ending, everything's bad, Russia bad, we're all going to die, of course you're going to have stock markets being in complete turmoil, not only in the national level, but you're talking on the global scale because so many countries are dealing with it.
But that's my point, is that had this happened right after Trump was inaugurated, a month after Trump was inaugurated, then I'd be like, all right, the media really is like all these people talking against Trump in the media is really having a huge impact on these basically control holders in these corporations. But that's not true. They've been backing him. My brother's a staunch Trump supporter and sits there and backs him up till he's dead in the throat.
I'm not here to defend Donald Trump. The markets operate on fear.
But that's what I'm saying, okay? Is that the sheer fact that this is the first time it's taken this big of a I can't think of a proper word, but this big of a dive is after all of this controversy.
But again, it tells me how much it went up. Once Trump got into office, everybody said, oh, the markets are going to crash. Well, no, we were seeing record numbers going up.
Everyone was excited thinking he was going to keep his promises true.
Look at him. When anything happens in China, what happens? Stock markets go down. Any other part of the world, London, stock markets go down. When you are in a major financial hub and there is some sort of political turmoil, stocks go down. And exactly, it runs off of fear.
Sure.
This is consumer confidence. It's corporate confidence.
But just because it's fear doesn't mean it's unfounded fear. That's my point. Is that maybe it is fear, but that doesn't mean it's without its merit.
But here's the point.
But how do any of us
stewed
know?
Up here's from, a, because anybody that has a brain can listen to half of these newscasts or analyze a news report and say, that's crap.
Here's the problem with this. WMFO Medford. I have to say that. The Comey memo, let's take that at face value and say there may be some smoke there. That may be a problem. It's not the Comey memo alone that sets this off. It's the Comey memo on top of the completely nonsensical Washington Times report or Washington Post report about Donald Trump gave secrets to the Russians. No, Donald Trump did not give secrets to the Russians. Donald Trump told the Russians about a threat that we have known about in this country for the last several months, to the extent that they're talking about banning laptops on airplanes. So Donald Trump, being a good president, doing his job, tells the Russians...
I just opened my mouth a little.
Tells the Russians, who are allegedly our allies, hey, this is a threat we identified. This kind of thing goes on all the time.
And I'm not disputing that. Okay? I'm not saying
how can you deny
people...
Donald Trump does his job. Donald Trump tries to build a bridge with the Russians, who, by the way, are pissed off at us right now, and I'll get into that in a second. The next thing you know, we got the Washington Post front page. Donald Trump gave sensitive information to the Russians, which he did not. And then you got everybody jumping up and down. This is going to get people killed. He may have compromised intelligence sources. No, you know who compromised the intelligence sources? The New York Times, who the next day... Even though this is some great threat to national security that Donald Trump told the Russians about an ISIS plot, are on their front page saying, Israel supplied the intelligence. Who leaked the information? Who published the information? The New York Times. Donald Trump is doing his job, and because these media outlets are so whipped up into a frenzy to take this president down, they have taken an everyday average aspect of a presidential meeting between heads of state and tried to turn it into a national scandal.
I'm not disputing that this has been a media witch hunt. Absolutely has. And like Lisa said, anyone with half brain can look at it and say, all right, a lot of this is just bull. Like, this is unfounded. But that doesn't discount the fact that the things that are true are still very unsettling.
What's true, other than the memo?
That you don't need other than the memo.
Yeah, you do need other than the memo. Because
you need the various things, other things that have been not proven, but that have been.
We don't even know that the memo exists, by the way. We don't even know that the memo is real at this point.
Well, I'm very excited for when we do, so that I can egg in your face.
I'm not disputing that it exists. I'm not disputing, but I'm saying we don't even know that at this point.
But we also don't know that all of the things that you're saying are false information are false. We don't know with any sort of certainty whether it's right or wrong or true or false or...
There is a point in time with a different...
And I'm not saying that it's true. I'm just saying that you can say that about anything.
But here's the point that I'm making. There was a point in time with any number of different presidents where this kind of stuff is not continual front page hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because this is continual front page hysteria, they've sunk the stock market. They've sunk our relationship with Russia. By the way, more people in Syria are going to die because Russia is not talking to the United States about the ceasefire in Syria because of all this nonsense coming out of the newspapers. So our American news media right now is robbing Granny's retirement fund and killing Syrian children. Those are the direct results.
That's a very strong statement.
Those are the direct cause and effect results of this hysteria in the media.
And again, I'm not saying that the media isn't definitely witch hunting, but it's also, as I said, there's no way to know how much truth or falsity there is to any of this.
That's why a responsible media doesn't run the hysterical headlines on the 24-hour bleeding until some facts come in.
But that's the thing. Nobody wants to read. People only read the headlines, and this is what you're getting on these clickbait all over Facebook, and it is... Trump told Russian secrets about batteries and whatnot. Well, nobody actually reads the article. And anybody that has any sort of conception of what is going on...
I read the article.
...can look at it and say, there are no facts to back this up.
I read the article and I was like, what is this headline? Trump did... The headline should have been, Trump does job. That should have been the headline. Trump does job. If Barack Obama had told Russia about an ISIS plot, they would have been lionizing him in the press. Here's why Obama gets
true.
The Nobel Peace Prize.
You cannot deny that.
But it's not a Owl Vision media, or I'm sorry, an Owl Vision information stream. If that was the only piece of information, then sure, it would be insane to try to castigate him.
This is the dominant note that is coming out of the United States right now. This is because... the outlets that are opposed to this kind of coverage don't have the kind of reach that CNN and MSNBC and the Washington Post and the New York Times do.
Mm-hmm.
They are burning the country down. They are burning the country down. They are burning our international reputation solely because they don't like the president.
I hate not in the name of journalism. We not weren't in the name that of popular truth. Before.
But
it's true. You can't argue in trying to get a country out of dire straits in a bad situation when you're self-sabotaging what is going on. Essentially, what the media's job is to report the news, not make it up, not create this fantastical...
Don't sex
absolutely,
it up.
Absolutely, but it's not
screaming.
Like this is coming from nowhere. You know, like this isn't something that they were like, okay, it's a slow news week. Here, let's for no reason throw Donald Trump under the bus.
Somebody comes out and says something, but there
actually,
is no
Shay,
research
that's exactly
to it. It's
what
a
it
creation
is.
Of a story.
That's exactly what it is with the giving away secrets story is. Trump does job. That should have been the headline.
But I'm saying it's not, I'm not backing up anyone that falsifies any information, anyone who makes a story just to sell a paper. But at the same time, you know, they always say the truth lies somewhere in the middle. No one's going to just come up out of thin air with stories like this if there isn't at least a kernel of truth to it.
The kernel of truth to it is the president of the United States, who has the right to declassify any information that he wants, told Russia about an ISIS threat. You may recall that the last airplane brought down by ISIS was a Russian jetliner flying out of Egypt.
Yes.
Russia has a definite interest in that kind of intelligence. So I commend the president for giving that to our ally.
And
our
I'm not
ally should
that
have that information.
Have.
That's his job. But the Washington Times would make it sound like the guy's giving away state secrets. Mm-hmm.
I've missed arguing with you guys.
And giving away state secrets and jeopardizing our intelligence personnel in the field and jeopardizing our relationships with our allies. He did
Russia
his
bad.
Job.
I will politely say that's yet to be seen.
He did his job. And if you are so blinded by hatred for this guy.
It's not a blind hate.
Can't
it's
see
a very
that.
2020 hate.
If you were so consumed with hatred for this guy that you can't see that, and you can't see the broader damage that it is doing to this country, that it is doing to the world, that it is wrong and needs to stop.
I never said that I couldn't see that. I'm only saying that some of this intel is true.
Some of it, the Comey memo, as I've said, is a problem. Okay? If it's real, if somebody can actually produce a copy of the thing, which nobody's seen yet, because all we have right now is some guy picks up the phone and calls the Washington Post and says, hey, let me read this to you. We don't know who it is. We know they're not supposed to be disclosing it. We don't know if James Comey actually wrote this. We don't know if James Comey is going to stand behind this. Apparently, Congress can't find James Comey's phone number. They confessed that on CBS tonight.
Whoops.
Because he changed his phone number when he left last week. Late today, a special counsel was appointed by Rod Rogerstein, who is the deputy attorney general, the acting attorney general in the Russia investigation. Former FBI director Robert Mueller is going to be heading back to Washington, D.C. With a fairly broad range of power to subpoena, interrogate, and indict and charge over any possible ties between the Trump campaign and the Russians. So you will get your facts.
I look forward to them.
Okay, and Comey's been
we'll be sure to cover
asked
them.
To drag his butt up to Capitol Hill and testify. So we'll get our facts on that as well.
Yeah, watching Senate hearings is my new Bravo Real Housewives. It's so much drama.
I'd call that a step up.
Yeah.
In world news, newly elected South Korean President Moon Jae-in issued a statement earlier today saying there is a, quote, high possibility, end quote, of a conflict with North Korea. The comments came after South Korea issued a statement calling for new dialogue with North Korea, which conducted a test of ballistic missiles on Sunday. South Korea dispatched an envoy to the United States on Wednesday to discuss deployment of the THAAD missile system, meant as a defensive measure for South Korea. Some South Koreans have violently opposed the missile deployment, and questions remain over who will pay for it, with President Trump calling on South Korea to foot the bill. So last week, President Moon Jae-in, we're going to use the sunshine policy. We're gonna have dialogue with North Korea again.
Open hand.
Hey,
just have a nice chat.
Just don't put it over the line.
We're going to get the THAAD missiles out of here. Everything's going to be cool. 1 week later, yeah, high likelihood that we're going to, what is a high possibility that we're going to have a war?
Mm-hmm.
High possibility.
No, because you get to a point in understanding that there is no negotiating with North Korea. They are standing essentially on their own island, but it is attached to South Korea. It's interesting because the newly inaugurated South Korean president, he was talking to Vladimir Putin, our other friend. It's just this weird web of political disputes going on. President Putin said that he was going to be interested in having this constructive talks with North Korea. It's constructive role, I believe that was.
Well, nobody wants North Korea dropping a nuke on anybody. I think if you polled all of these world leaders privately, mm-hmm. they'd all tell you, let's blow Kim Jong-un right off the map. Pyongyang off the map. Let's just get rid of North Korea.
It's like at a WASP dinner party where it's that thing that everyone agrees on but nobody's talking about.
Publicly, nobody's going to say that because it's a violation of international law.
But, well, that's, like Lisa said, that's the thing. That every time that I see about any sort of attempted negotiation with North Korea in the news, I'm just like, have we not figured this out mm-hmm. yet?
Yeah.
Like, there's
no, we've been talking about
a no-win situation.
You know, for more recently in the past couple of weeks, and you have a situation essentially where there is no negotiating with North Korea, and I say it over and over again. So many countries that are involved in this situation or have high priority, United States being one, Russia being one, China being one, and of course, being attached to North Korea, South Korea, they have... Essentially, every country is going in there, setting up shop, ready to point their missiles, while North Korea is still pressing the button and trying to shoot these high-power ballistics try to reach Alaska or Seattle.
Well, the way it always feels trying to, whenever any country tries to go in and chat or negotiate or anything with North Korea, it always feels like dealing with a pubescent teenager, you know, where it's just, there's not going to be any reasoning with them, which I mean, considering Kim Jong-un, he's a couple years older than me and Lisa. Like, he's not, we're not talking some like super.
No,
I mean,
he's on his shoulders.
This is what you get. This is what you get when you let a millennial run the country. This is what you get.
Oh God, I just handed you that one.
North Korea.
Gift wrap box.
North Korea.
Well, today in sports news, we learned, leave it to the wife to spill the beans.
Oh, God.
The NFL says it's working with the players' union to gather more information from the New England Patriots medical staff and star quarterback Tom Brady, whose supermodel wife, Gisele Bündchen, said in a TV interview Brady suffered from a concussion last season. The Patriots never listed Brady on the injury report with a concussion or head injury last season. Quote, we have reviewed all reports relating to Tom Brady and the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultants and certified athletic trainer spotters who worked with the Patriots home and away 2016 season games, as well as club injury reports that were sent to the league's office, end quote, the NFL said in a statement. Bündchen first brought up the claim in an interview with CBS this morning when asked about her desire for Brady to retire soon. Quote, I just have to say, as a wife, you know, it's not the most, let's say, unaggressive sport, football. He had a concussion last year. He has concussions pretty much every, I mean, we don't talk about it, but he has concussions. And I really think it's healthy thing for your body, not a healthy thing for your body to go through. You know, the kind of aggression all the time that cannot be healthy for you, end quote.
If he gets suspended... if he gets suspended again, or the Patriots have to deal with any kind of penalties because of this,
divorce.
She will never be allowed back in Sullivan Stadium.
Not to be mean or anti-feminist, but haven't models figured out right by now that they're just supposed to stand there and look pretty?
Here's the thing: she had no idea.
Keep
what
your
you
mouth like, shut, Gisele.
She just had a. You know when your brain just stops and you're like,
no more TV appearances for you, Gisele.
Yeah.
And
only
now
pictures,
all of a sudden,
pictures.
And of course. It has to be, I mean, look what happened last year with, regardless of what was going on post Brady being suspended. The NFL now lives in a 12-month cycle. They want to be in the news. They don't care how they're going to in the news.
Yeah.
So the minute you have star quarterback Tom Brady just coming off a Super Bowl win, and America hates Tom Brady other than the Patriots fans, we are going to jump on that. Oh, don't worry. NFL's going to have this investigative...
Well, I haven't seen them yet, but I know they're out there, and these are the takes that say, oh, Patriots cheated. They let Brady play with a concussion. Because they're cheaters. Cheater, cheater, cheater. So we got to listen to another freaking year of that. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Giselle.
I was going to say, well, that's the thing, is it's... And this is just served up on a silver platter for people. Because it's not like Deflategate where it was like, okay, well, we're going to be mad that the Colts didn't win. This is literally the quarterback's wife saying this. It's not like some conspiracy. It came out of someone who is incredibly close to him. It came out of her mouth.
Roger Goodell is watching that video with his hand down his pants.
I just want to have that moment standing next to Tom Brady and just watching his phone blow up at 8:30 this morning and seeing like, what did your wife just say? Are you okay? What happened? How many concussions? I mean, because the way that
she
said
just
it,
like, honey,
it sort of backtracked and stopped and was talking about, well, he has concussions all the time in his head and I don't know. You have to understand the situation. There is a protocol that players need to follow, that trainers, that teams, that doctors need to follow when a player is concussed.
This is why high-profile people should never marry each other. You can have one high-profile person in a relationship.
You double the eye on
The second you get both of them on television, something like this is going to happen eventually. It never fails.
Yeah, even if it's not intentional, one of them is going to tear the other one down.
It's going to be a real rough weekend around the Brady Bunchin.
Luckily, it's probably like 40 rooms, so they can at least
said, you
stay
know
pretty
that,
separate from
that,
one another.
That waterfall that he jumped off of in Brazil, he just got a concussion from that.
Yeah.
Well, today in food news, we learned sometimes convenience isn't always safe. A Rutgers University professor last week poured out some cold water on the trendy, ready-to-cook dinner packages being delivered to homes across America, especially the ones including with meat. Speaking on the final day of the 2017 Food Safety Summit in the session Home Delivery, the professor of human ecology presented results from the Rutgers, Tennessee State University study that looked in the integrity of home-delivered dinners. Professor Bill Halen said researchers placed orders in delivery of 169 meal kits, including entrees from 271 meal entrees, 235 seafood items, 133 game items, and 39 poultry items. What researchers found raised concern about pathogens, packaging, label, and cold chain integrity. The study also involved 1,002 interviews with consumers and review of 427 domestic food delivery vendor websites. Consumers found to be trusting a lot in 97% that these were unsafe. So this is something that I see all the time.
Wait, are you telling me, Lisa Nichols, you can't just send meat through the mail?
Yeah.
Are you telling me that you can't just send meat through the mail?
Now here's
who knew
the problem, and I bring this up because there are no requirements for this. There are no safety standards. So whether we're talking about HACCP, so hazardous analysis, critical control points, which for the majority restaurants or food handling delivery systems use. But when we're talking about a Blue Apron or one of the other multi food delivery items, they don't have requirements. They say they do, but in this study, it's unbelievable. One of the vendors, this is great, one of the vendors told consumers, quote, this is on the packaging, your bison meat may be thawed by the time it gets to you. Touch the meat. If it is cool, then touch to order if it's good condition. I don't even know what that means. Is that, that's cooking jargon? We're talking about meat and food and temperatures.
Lisa Nichols, are you telling me you can't just send meat through the mail?
No.
Well, and like with any new phenomena like this whole food meal in a bag type delivery service, because it's so new, there's not really any regulations around. Like, there hasn't been precedent set. There hasn't been someone.
Yes, there is. It's called the FDA administration. It's called common victualler's licenses. It's called Board of Health inspections. But everything is, we're a disruptive millennial-run business. You can't send meat through the mail.
But it's just like how LSD was legal forever. It's because there wasn't anything set up saying specifically LSD is illegal.
There's got to be a rule on the book somewhere that says you can't send meat in the mail.
Well, here's some fun facts. Service temperatures on products the researchers received ranged from minus 23 degrees for items packaged in dry ice to 75 degrees. I want some 75-degree meat. What is interesting about this, only 5% of these deliveries require a signature. So that means you get it right away, and I assume if you get some sort of food product delivered to you, you are going to put it right away in your freezer or your refrigerator. But some are being delivered at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You get excited because you have a new Blue Apron package delivered that you're going to make an Instagram video about at 6 o'clock p.m. Unfortunately, it was sitting on your patio at about 68 degrees Fahrenheit outside.
Or it was today, and it was 90 all day long.
Yum.
Well, and that's what I actually did.
But millennials are stupid.
My sister got me a Blue Apron. My sister got me a Blue Apron, like, preliminary subscription for Christmas 2 years ago, and I remember at the time my day job was working in restaurants, so I worked kind of odd hours and a lot of times wouldn't leave the house until 4 o'clock, but I remember it would get there at one and I'd be like, what about these people with 9-to-5s who, because I would get it and they come with the little cooling pack things, but even I would open it and be like,
after five hours,
this is seafood. this is that thing that people get sick from all the time when it's gone bad.
Tonight we're gonna make chili rub shrimp.
I'm
gonna have fried salmonella.
You can't send meat through the mail.
Yeah, if you're wondering why you get sick off of, say, your, and I'm not even just talking about meat, you bring up seafood. If you think you're allergic to shellfish, or no, that's just your restaurant. And not following the critical control
point specific
protocol of the temperatures and when they're supposed to be. That's why people get sick in the salt. Waters are warmer, therefore you have higher bacteria count. And
I really love Blue Apron. I don't know why I vomit every night after I eat it, but I really love Blue Apron.
Yeah.
Stupid, 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 stupid. In technology news, the Shadow Brokers, a hacker group who released the NSA exploit used to power the WannaCry worm, which we'll be discussing later tonight, have a new business venture planned. Starting in June, they will begin a data dump of the month club, which may include anything from new Windows exploits to compromised central bank logins to network data from Russian, Chinese, Iranian, and North Korean nuclear programs. According to their post, quote, what members doing with data after is up to members, end quote. The group also apologized to an extent for WannaCry, saying, quote, the Shadow Brokers is not being interested in stealing grandmother's retirement money. This is always about being the Shadow Brokers versus the Equation Group, with the latter being the name used by the United States hackers at the Central Intelligence Agency. So you sign up, send them some Bitcoin, and you get new exploits delivered to your inbox.
It's the wine of the month.
Every month. That's what it is. This is the Shadow Brokers Wine of the Month Club.
For a very specific type of fan.
Yeah.
If somebody gives them a lot of Bitcoin, they won't do this. Mm-hmm. This is their other... We're going to get into this later tonight when we talk about WannaCry and who's responsible and who these people may or may not be. Pretty hilarious post, though. I suggest you track it down online and read it. Because whoever wrote this is paying a lot of attention to everything that's being said in the media and sort of collapsing it into this semi-political, ridiculous stream of consciousness. So
now, and again, we'll go into it, but I mean, we're talking about web browsers, routers, handset exploits, tools, things dealing with Windows. So if you have, there's newer exploits for Windows 10, compromised network data from SWIFT providers and central banks, compromised data networks from Russian, Chinese, Iranian, and North Korean nukes and missile programs. So we are not talking about small cookies. Big thing.
No, we're talking about
when we start talking about North Korean missiles and Iranian programs.
Yeah, this isn't a 17-year-old's iTunes getting hacked.
They're talking about the kind of exploit that was used to steal all that money from the Bank of Thailand.
Oh, no.
Or Thailand. So it's not Thailand. I can't believe I just said that. You know, it's a long day. Shay's got me all hopped up because she thinks the media is just fine and cozy and dandy. And,
oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That Anderson Cooper's so dreamy.
Take those words out of my mouth because they were never there.
Yes, they were.
Mm-mm.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
You enjoyed the snow we had on Mother's Day. Too bad. We're not getting any more of that. Tonight, it's going down to 70. That's your low tonight, kids. 70. You didn't get the air conditioners in yet. You're getting them in right now. Tomorrow, it gets worse. Humidity's going up. Highs are expected to set a record. The record for tomorrow in Boston is 91 degrees, set in 1936. We're going to break that. That means it's going to be more than 91.
Talk about the depression.
And humid.
Derek, you know I love those numbers.
Tomorrow night?
Hey, that's Lisa weather right there.
70. Yeah, Italians and tomatoes. They're the only ones that like this weather. Tomorrow night, 70. Friday, mostly sunny. We're going to get a cold front blow through here, so we'll get some showers Friday. Maybe a thunderstorm. It's going to be 81 degrees for the high during the day on Friday. And then Friday night, temperature's going to drop back to the low 50s. Upper 40s in some of the cooler spots. Saturday is actually going to be a beautiful, perfect spring day. Highs in the 60s, lows in the 40s, upper 40s Saturday night. And then Sunday, again, another perfect yard work day. Mostly sunny, highs in the mid-60s, lows in the mid-50s Sunday night. So
that's Shea weather.
A little bit of roller coaster. Good beach day tomorrow. Not good for anything else, but a good beach day.
I'm going to the beach.
And then we get back into the season. So we'll take that. It is WMFO Medford on the Tell Mikey D coming up at 9 o'clock tonight with everything you need to know when we come back. Did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week on WMFO Medford?
This is Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Slow cooking, whether on your stovetop or in a slow cooker, can make the economical cuts of meat taste delicious. Less tender cuts like bottom round and brisket taste best if cooked in moist heat, so they're ideal for slow cooking. Since these cuts usually give you the most meat for your money, you can have economy and good taste. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I am Lisa Nichols, here with Shea Splane, Derek Gary, and this is The Big Picture. Here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 as always. We want you to be a part of the show. You can do that by calling us at 855-915-9636.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for Did You Hear? This is Shay's first... Oh, no, you were here during Christmas.
I did it once. I'm very excited for that.
So these are all the stories that didn't make it into our opening, but we find very, very important. And the way that we do it, we ask each other one or two words and see who can figure out what the story was.
Okay.
I'm going to start, as always. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nothing.
Paul McCartney? Or the, because we just found out Paul McCartney's in it, but what you're talking about is the hackers who are holding it for ransom online.
Ah, I hate how you do that.
Threatening to release the film unless Disney pays up. Disney executives have said, no, we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah. Disney CEO Bob Iger
Iger.
Iger did not reveal which movie the ransom hackers claimed to have, but he did reveal to ABC employees during a town hall meeting in New York on Monday that the incident had occurred. The hackers said that they would release bits of the film in increments if the demands were not met. Deadline was learned that it was indeed Jerry Bruckheimer's fifth Pirates of the Caribbean in the franchise, which is set to release on May 26th.
At some point, some studio is going to be very clever, and they're going to realize that they have a bomb on their hands, which this film may or may not be, based on what we've heard about Johnny Depp's antics on the set. And they will deliberately fake one of these things and release the movie online themselves so that when it tanks at the box office, they can blame the hackers.
Of course. It is smart man.
I want to say that is rather genius.
Yep.
Are you in on this team?
No, I just know it's going to happen.
For me, I have a woman football.
This isn't the two player. No, that's basketball. The two players got married.
This isn't the kicker that got into the BCF. I forget.